Welcome to Insider Profile. I'm your host, Paul Schindler. Insider Profile is brought to you by CMPNet, the technology network. The latest news and features about computers, computing, the internet, and high-tech finance. You can find it at www.cmpnet.com.
There's a lot of people who just won't take advantage of it. It's just more television. People won't rise to the challenge. They'll be passive. And that is certainly true of a number of people, but I'm trying to reduce the number.
Esther Dyson is the doyen of the digital age. From her perch as the operator of the PC Forum and the publisher of the influential Release 1.0 newsletter, there isn't anyone or anything in the computer business that she doesn't know. Now, Dyson's written a book called Release 2.0, A Design for Living in the Digital Age. The book distills her thoughts on the creation of a responsible and responsive internet. From commerce to kiddie porn, from spam to hate speech, she's got a plan for everything. We caught up with Esther recently in the back seat of a car between appearances on behalf of her book. The book seems a little episodic. Did you have an overarching theme in mind?
What I tried to do is put it into chapters so that it would not overwhelm you from the start. The overarching theme is personal opportunity and personal responsibility in various spheres such as work, education, security, content control. But the fundamental concept is you now have more choices. You also have more responsibility.
Do you find that preaching responsibility is popular?
I don't know yet. I'm waiting to find out. But it's the right thing to do.
If you wanted to pick two or three of the points you made in the book that you thought were the most critical to get people to pay attention to, which ones would you pick?
One important thing is simply the book is optimistic. It's because I think fundamentally most people are trying to do good. This optimism will come true only if people do, in fact, get on the net and use it well. If they are scared of it and they leave it to the, quote, bad guys, then the reverse will come true. So the message is don't be scared of it. It's a tool. It's not something to have. It's something to use. It gives you more power over your own life without necessarily giving you power over other people. And that's why I like it, because it sort of takes power away from the central authorities and gives it to individuals.
You mentioned the bad guys. A lot of people are scared of the internet. They're scared of internet commerce. They're scared of child pornography on the internet on behalf of their children. Has that been blown out of proportion?
It has been blown out of proportion, but it is real. There are bad people in the world, or people who have become bad, whatever. I don't want to get into a philosophical discussion. And it's a powerful tool for them, too. So people have to take the responsibility for educating their children, just as they do in normal life. You lock your door. You don't let your kid go wandering around downtown. You need to be aware of the dangers, but you also need to not be paralyzed by them and go out and make it a better place for yourself and whoever you're dealing with.
And you remain optimistic that this can happen?
I'm optimistic that it will happen overall. I certainly don't think we're going to eliminate evil by all going on the net. I'm optimistic, but I'm also trying to make it happen. And it's the same thing that I'm doing in Russia. It's not clear Russia is going to turn out for the better, but I hope it is. And I'm there trying to make it happen. And the same on the net.
There are a lot of people who aren't on the net. Some are vigorously and aggressively not on the net. Some are just not on the net because of age or lack of technical education. Do you think the net is now or will be a place for everyone?
Well, I don't think it's a moral requirement to be on the net. It's just, you know, I don't have a home phone. That's my personal choice, and I think that's great. And if someone chooses to be not on the net, that is their choice. If you want to work in business, let's face it, you probably are going to have to be on the net, just as you have to use the telephone at work. I do use it at work, just not at home. And kids will be exposed to it in school.
You proposed an interesting idea for getting rid of spam in the book, and I wondered if you could tell us about it and also assign a likelihood of it coming to pass.
Okay, well, I think it is likely to pass, but the idea is simply that I can charge people to send me email, and it's not the post office collecting it, it's me. Probably an ISP will actually handle the logistics and get a commission, but you see, you can't get rid of spam because there's no independent determination of what spam is. Spam is email I don't like to receive, so I've got to determine what spam is and then set up a system for myself to keep it away. And so, again, it's something where I think decentralized control and individual choice is a much better system than having the government trying to define what spam is and then making it illegal.
When I read your idea for stopping spam, I said to myself, you know, there's a lot of people that are going to make me pay to send mail to them. Wouldn't the system of charging people to send you mail eventually reduce the utility of mail on the internet?
No, I think it would reduce the prevalence of unwanted mail. If it's worth it to you to have them read your mail, you will pay their price. If they like it, they will probably refund the fee. Let's face it, if people don't want your mail, Paul, you have a problem.
Can you select a recent personal or professional accomplishment that you're particularly proud of?
Well, a really neat thing that happened that is personal and professional. Last Friday, my brother and I did a joint book signing up in Seattle, and that was a lot of fun. He has a book called Darwin Among the Machines. That was a unique experience for all of us.
Have you ever done one with your father?
No, but I'd love to. The time may come.
What is the most optimistic statement that you could make about the future of the internet?
That was true.
Yes.
It is a tool for people to use to control their own lives. It is net reduces the power of central authorities and gives it to individuals not to control others, but to control themselves and define their own choices. And that's pretty optimistic. It's true, but it's a challenge to people to make use of it.
And what's the most pessimistic thing you could say about the future of the internet?
There's a lot of people who just won't take advantage of it. It's just more television. People won't rise to the challenge. They'll be passive. And that is certainly true of a number of people, but I'm trying to reduce the number.
Thank you, Esther. You've been listening to Insider Profile. Insider Profile is brought to you by CMPNet, the technology network. The latest news and features about computers, computing, the internet, and high-tech finance. Find it at www.cmpnet.com. I'm your host, Paul Schindler. We'll be back next week with another Insider Profile.